Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App Auka Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App Auka Navida downloaden und loslegen. Auka Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
Jedes Business hat Ambitionen und PayPal Open ist die Plattform, um sie wahr werden zu lassen. So können Sie als HändlerInnen bezahlt werden, wie Ihre Kundschaft es möchte. Und egal wo, online, im Laden oder unterwegs. Und wenn es Zeit ist zu wachsen, bietet PayPal ein Netzwerk aus Hunderten von Millionen PayPal-NutzerInnen weltweit. Und schnelle Finanzierungsoptionen und Tools, damit Sie ganz locker expandieren können. Das ist PayPal Open. Eine Plattform für alle Arten von Business. Erfahren Sie mehr auf paypalopen.de.
The EU and Canada with this new security and defense partnership, which provides for this increased cooperation across the full spectrum of security. It will help us deliver on our new requirements for capabilities more rapidly and more effectively. It will help build our industries, secure our jurisdictions. So we are very pleased to be taking this important step towards participation in SAFE as part of ReArm Readiness Europe, bringing shared expertise, joint research and innovation.
Oh, behold King Carney jetting to Brussels to ink a grand EU defense pact without a whisper to Canadians or Parliament. And while we're distracted, Mark Carney plays global chess, pledging our military and wallets to Europe's ReArm juggernaut. No debate, no consent, just a smug quip about better dinners in Brussels. Reducing U.S. reliance? Sure, but at what cost to our sovereignty? Carney's cozying up to EU elites, dreaming of a transatlantic utopia, while Canadians are left in the dark. Tune in as we unmask this royal decree before it sells our future to foreign powers. Sheila Gunn-Reid from Rebel News has more on this story, plus Mark Carney's authoritarian power grab. Stay with us. The Richard Serrett Show, Facta Non Verba.
I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
We must not allow ourselves to be intimidated. Our task is not only to win the battle, but to win the war.
I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Take a look at this country through her eyes if you really want to see something. The whole parade of what man's carved out for himself after centuries of fighting.
You're out of order! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order!
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature! And you will atone!
Seeking truth and justice in a battleground of deception and corruption, this is The Richard Serrett Show.
Sheila Gunn-Reid is Rebel News Alberta Bureau Chief and the host of The Gunn Show. Sheila, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to talk to you again.
You too. So, why did Mark Carney sign a major EU defense pact without consulting Parliament or Canadians? I mean, is that even legal?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that are probably unethical that are perfectly legal within our parliamentary system. Let's also remember that we don't have a budget. So we're committing to a big pile of spending here, but we don't know how that is going to affect the country's bottom line. Mark Carney went over there after first proclaiming and then campaigning on the fact that our strategic military and trade alliance with the Americans is all but over. He made that a campaign ad, quite literally, on that. Then he gets elected. Then you couldn't see a more deferential man to Mark or to Trump than we've seen of Mark Carney. So I guess everybody who fell for that story should feel duped. I doubt they will, though. Mm-hmm. And now he's over in the EU saying that Canada is the most European place that isn't in Europe. And We're culturally aligned, and why wouldn't we be militarily aligned? And then commits to a big pile of spending. And he even said, you know, we're committing to a new world order, whatever that means. These people aren't even trying to hide it anymore.
How practical is a defense pact with a continent that is hours and hours away by plane?
Right. Right. That's exactly it. I mean, it makes sense to have a strategic military alliance with the Americans, that we buy all of our defense materials from them. They are our defense contractor. They rely on us for early warning systems in the high Arctic if missiles are headed at the United States. And in turn, they are to help us if we were ever at risk or invaded, or if an attack were ever launched at us. I think if there were attack ever launched at us, it would come from within. But yeah, they're right next door. We share the world's longest undefended border, the greatest trade partnership in the history of human civilization. And instead of working night and day around the clock to fix that, Carney's over there showing off to his old friends at the EU, because we have to remember, he carries a British passport, he carries an Irish passport, and he has always said, speaking as a European in front of European audiences, Mark Carney's a guy who will say something completely different depending on the audience that he's in front of. So when he's talking to the Europeans, he's European. When he's talking to Canadians, he has this weird jingoistic patriotism. And when he's talking to the Americans, he can be more of a suck up to them. He's the most insincere man I think I've ever seen in politics. And politics is not known for its sincerity.
Meanwhile, he's committing Canada to joining the EU's $150 billion euro rearm Europe program. What are the risks there as you see them?
What is it, our problem? Like, there are a lot of European countries who could be rearming European countries. What on earth does it have to do with us? We're not there. Why do we have to get involved in any of this, except insofar as we have to show off about, you know, we've got a new boss and he's very cosmopolitan and very friendly with the Europeans. And that's fine. Mark Carney can do that at his parties with his fancy friends. He doesn't have to do it with our money at these big global events.
Could this agreement potentially pull Canada into European conflicts that are unrelated to our interests?
Well, that is a real concern, isn't it? That we might end up not with Canadian troops training in Latvia with no equipment, with Canadian troops fighting on the ground in Ukraine with no equipment, because we sent our equipment to the Ukrainians. So, I mean, there's a real risk in that. What are our obligations for this rearm Europe program? What does it mean for us? We don't really know. He hasn't really explained that.
So, again, the lack of consultation with the public here. I mean, we were not informed about this annual security and defense dialogue with the EU. Where does he get off just going over there and making these pronouncements? He's never, again, not a whisper to the Canadian public about this, not even discussing it in Parliament. He just seems to think, as I mentioned in my introduction, that he's like a king. Everyone's complaining about, you know, King Trump. What about King Carney?
Well, that's the thing, but this is how the Liberals govern. This is how Mark Carney governs. As I said, he doesn't have a budget. There's no line item for this spending. When he was at the G7, he just pulled $2 billion out of our pockets. I was going to say his pockets, but our pockets, to give to Zelensky when Zelensky came a knocking. He also gave him $2 billion in seized Russian assets to Zelensky. So, I mean, this is what Mark Carney has done since he became the prime minister without ever producing a budget. And people on the left tell me that he is a very smart banker. He's a finance guy. He's got all the same cabinet as Justin Trudeau. So these people aren't learning on the job. They could have thrown together a budget and they haven't. I mean, they're allocating, I think it's $750 million for the gun grab, again, without a budget. This is how Mark Carney governs. he doesn't feel like he needs to explain what he's doing to the Canadian public.
So there's the Rearm Europe program. There's another kind of chilling aspect to cozying up to the EU, and we're seeing what's happening in the UK, where single moms get a knock on the door, get hauled away by the police for one, let's say, intemperate social media post. Let's talk about the cybersecurity and disinformation measures in this agreement and their threats to free speech here in Canada.
Sure. I mean, the Brits, I think probably too late, decided that they didn't want to be Europeans. They were leaving the EU with Brexit, and Canada is going in the opposite direction, learning nothing. We've seen some of the most odious censorship laws in, I think, in the Western world, outside of Canada, of course, excepting us, in Germany, where, you know, you can have the police show up at your door, much like in the UK, for your posts online. Maybe the neighbor complained about you. Maybe you're in trouble for a pre-crime. They think that you might accidentally in the future say something. We see those kind of laws in Germany, and they are, you know, all but in charge, them, France, with the EU. Why? Why would we cozy up to them? And really, the close ties to the EU will only make it easier for Carney to bring those pieces of censorship legislation back home.
So one has to ask why Carney is rushing to align with the EU while we're in the midst of U.S. trade talks.
Well, I mean, it's because the EU is doing the things that he wants to do to us. And I think we're going to talk about that later with censorship legislation, legislation that erodes your privacy, warrantless searches. They're doing that. And when you are closely aligned with the EU, that sort of gives you permission to do those things to Canadian citizens. We can point, the Liberals, the Canadian government, can point and say, look, Canadians, all we're doing is bringing ourselves in line with the more civilized places of the world, like those progressive countries of the EU, Germany, France, and the like. So I think that's one of the reasons. It's also a backstop if Trump eats them alive. You know, you can say, look, Trump's just being uncooperative because we could get a deal done with the Europeans.
Getting back to defense for a moment, this would suggest that Canada's not interested in living under the umbrella of Donald Trump's proposed Golden Dome that he's invited us to join. Yes, there's a price tag, but it looks like Mark Carney's not interested in living under this Golden Dome. What are your thoughts?
I think if I had to guess, probably at the end of the day, he will sign on to the Golden Dome, because I feel like the Golden Dome is probably just a more technologically advanced, larger extension of NORAD. And many of those facilities are in northern Canada. But Carney, you know, as he is sucking up to Trump at the G7, and look, I don't want Carney to fight with Trump. That's been my problem from the very beginning, is everyone was too adversarial with Trump and saying some antagonistic things when they needed to be sitting down and having some hard talks. Carney has also said that in meeting his NATO defense spending targets, he would be focusing that money back in Canada. And look, I'm all for the repatriation of Canadian manufacturing, but the Americans do have a pretty decent war machine. They are pretty efficient. They're scaled right up when it comes to military equipment, and they, for a very long time, have been our suppliers of our military equipment. And Carney has said in his, you know, buy Canadian elbows up nonsense that he would be looking for Canadian suppliers of that, of military equipment, as, you know, to go into the pot of, to say, well, we're meeting our military defense spending. But what he's going to do is get less for more if he focuses on buying Canadian right now. And so I'm concerned. So I don't think they're being honest when they say we are ramping up our defense spending. What they're doing is spending it on bringing Canadian military manufacturing online that we don't have yet. It will have no real tangible effect on the front line for our soldiers.
So what are we to do here? Well, in Parliament, how do we hold Mark Carney accountable for bypassing the democratic process? What can the Conservatives do? What are they doing?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know what more Canadians can do. I mean, I'm going to do my part as an independent journalist to file access to information, shine a light on the things they're doing behind closed doors. I mean, the Conservatives will be working very hard to hold these guys to account in committee, where a lot of this stuff comes out. But at the end of the day, we just had an election, and the eastern part of this country rewarded 10 years of Liberal corruption and abuse financially and socially with another 4 more years of Mark Carney. So ask Westerners why they want to leave. I mean, what are we to do at this point? Because I think a lot of Canadians are very hopeful. And it didn't play out the way that they thought it would. The system is skewed against change and skewed against accountability. I mean, when you look at the Green Slush Fund, the scandal of that, the Winnipeg Biolab, the scandal of that, Jasper, the scandal of that, the GC Strategies scandal, the other procurement scandals, McKinsey scandals, consulting scandals, it never ends. I mean, I just listed scandals in the last 1 year of the Liberals. I bet you Jean Chrétien is crawling out of whatever crypt they keep him in these days, saying, boy, I wish I could have gotten away with that. I just had the sponsorship scandal and people went to jail for that. So I mean, it's just a different level of corruption that this iteration of the Liberals are able to get away with. And Mark Carney is like the Wizard of Oz, right? He's the man behind the curtain of the Liberals, and now he's out front. So, you know, again, I say ask Westerners why they want to be done with this.
So this Canada-EU defense pact, security pact, if you will, does that not constitute a treaty? Does that not require some kind of ratification in Parliament?
Frankly, I don't even know. There are so many things that should happen in Parliament that don't happen anymore. This ramming through of mega bills last minute. I know the Conservatives backed C5, but I've got some pretty serious concerns about why they probably shouldn't have. They're just going around Parliament every step of the way. Look at how Parliament was prorogued. They prorogued Parliament to avoid having to turn over records on the Green Slush Fund, which should have went to the RCMP, which should have resulted in huge criminal charges to people involved. Imagine being a regular criminal out there and just saying, yeah, I'm not going to turn over evidence. It's fine. You wish you were a well-connected Liberal. So, I mean, these things ostensibly are international treaties. There should be ratification, but the Liberals sign treaties and pacts all the time. Just look at the Paris Accord, that have lasting legislative effects here in our country, and they do it without consulting us. And this is just another one of those things.
While Canadians look the other way, Mark Carney's Liberals are quietly launching an authoritarian blitz with 3 power grab bills. Bill C2 gives CSIS the power to read your mail, collect your data without a warrant, and forces private companies to structure digital systems so that law enforcement can easily access them. Bill C4 exempts political parties from all federal and provincial privacy laws, retroactive to the year 2000. That means political parties can collect, sell, and misuse your data without telling you and without consequence. Bill C-5 gives Cabinet the power to suspend federal laws entirely for any project it deems in the national interest, from environmental regulations to financial accountability. That means Carney could shield any government-backed development, from telecoms to green energy to foreign-owned infrastructure, from legal scrutiny. These three bills would let the government spy on you, bypass parliament, and strip away decades of legal protection, all without public debate. If this was happening anywhere else, we'd call it authoritarian, but in Canada, it's just legislation.
That is a very succinct summation of Bills C2, C4, and C5 from concerned_citizens_Canada. Sheila Gunn-Reid is the Rebel News Alberta Bureau Chief and host of The Gun Show. We're going to get into this power grab right now, Bills C2, C4, C5, a sinister power grab dressed up as progress. Again, C2 enables warrantless data seizures, gutting privacy. C4, the so-called Making Life More Affordable Act, frees political parties from privacy laws, allowing secret data collection to manipulate voters. C5 lets Carney's cabinet suspend any law for national interest projects, trampling Indigenous rights, democracy. It's been rushed through Parliament. These bills signal Carney's authoritarian streak, threatening sovereignty and freedom. Once again, Sheila Gunn-Reid, from your perspective, how bills C2, C4, C5 collectively undermine Canadian privacy and democratic freedoms?
These, I think, are an extension of the COVID era rewriting of our social order when it comes to personal privacy. And they are just now legislating it into law. During COVID, all of a sudden, those things that we had a right to keep to ourselves, our private medical information, what medical procedures we had, what medicines we had taken, it was now something that not only was just discussed in public, asked in public, but you were forced to divulge it to be in polite society. You had to tell your bartender what sort of medicine that you had before he could turn the tap on the draft. Like, it, crazy, right? Like, you look back and you think, that's insane. But all of a sudden, privacy didn't exist. And these pieces of legislation go straight down that road. C5 is less about, for me, privacy, and more about the government being able to manipulate our economy. It's the Great Green Reset piece of legislation, because when they say they want to deem something in the national interest and the Liberals are in charge, they don't mean pipelines. Like, put that right out of your head. They mean ferries built with Chinese steel. That's what they mean. But Bill C2, it is built into a border security law. So tough one, the border people like me, you would, if you didn't read this piece of legislation, you'd be thinking, perfect, about damn time. But no, then you read the legislation and it touches on a whole host of things. Warrantless searches of your phone. If you are a podcaster, Richard, they might be able to look at who subscribes to you. And then they would see a dangerous list of free thinking Canadians provided to them against the will of Richard Surrette, who just was simply traveling home across the border from vacation in Florida. It also bans cash. And this is not proceeds of crime stuff. This is legitimate business. Let's say you're like me, you're a farmer, you're doing business in cash down at the farm auction. This is not saying that I have not declared my cash with the government. If I earned it, of course, I've declared it to the government. But I should be able to spend that cash on a piece of farm equipment without putting it in the bank and going out the other side. This piece of legislation basically outlaws cash transactions for business of $10,000. It wants, the legislation basically allows all of your information, once you come in contact with law enforcement, particularly at the border, to be available to them. And without suspicion, without warrant, it just has to get turned over to them. Michael Geist, Professor Michael Geist, has called this one of the most egregious pieces of legislation in the Western world. And I think he's right. Bill C4, usual Liberal trickery. Again, if you read the name of the bill, you'd be like, great, about time we got a tax cut. And depends on your tax bracket, whether or not you would get that tax cut. But yeah, buried right at the very bottom of it is an attack on your privacy again. And this is why. Why would you put that piece of privacy violation into a tax cut? It actually becomes a piece of poison pill legislation for the conservatives, because the liberals are famous for this. They did it with Bill C-63. So they're going to say, oh, you're opposing a tax cut if you don't want us to trample all over the rights of Canadians' privacy. With Bill C-63, which thankfully died when Parliament was prorogued, they made it about getting child abuse images and revenge content off the internet. And if you opposed that, then obviously you were for child abuse images. That was the unhinged arguments from the Liberals, when really people were objecting because they had shoehorned into this piece of legislation that for all intents and purposes already exists. This law to get those things off the internet already exists, was an attack on free speech on the internet, because then anything could be an online harm, even things you hadn't done yet.
So just going back to C2 for a moment, Bill C2, warrantless data collection. I mean, how could this possibly survive a Supreme Court challenge? I mean, didn't the Supreme Court rule about, 10 years ago that this violates the charter?
Yeah, about 10 years ago, it was a conservative, actually, Vic Taves. It was a 2010 bill led by Vic Taves at the time, and it was about warrantless searches. That law actually was viciously opposed by the Liberals. Now it's not just, as I said, if you are a podcaster crossing the border, they might want your subscribers. This will mandate telecoms to turn over your information to the police, and you might not even know your information has been turned over. I think there's a year before they actually have to tell you, and they haven't even really been all that clear about, do they have to turn it over if you ask, or do they have to proactively inform you? So you could be engaged in organizing a protest against the government, and without having to prove to a judge why they need to know why you're, organizing on WhatsApp. The police can go to WhatsApp and demand your information about your little social media group.
Du willst beides. Aktives Fondsmanagement und die Vorteile eines ETFs? Xtrackers aktive ETFs liefern genau das, die Verbindung von smartem Portfolio-Management mit effizienter ETF-Struktur. Kosteneffizient und mit dem Potenzial für Überrenditen. Aktive Strategie trifft auf ETF-Effizienz. Informiere dich jetzt auf xtrackers.de. Zusammenwachsen. Investitionen unterliegen Risiken. Werbemitteilung herausgegeben von der DWS International GmbH mit Sitz in Frankfurt.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons, oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 € Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil.
Bill C-4, one aspect of it, exempting political parties from provincial privacy laws.
Yeah, this is crazy.
What is this all about? Why do political parties need to evade privacy laws? What's the agenda here?
Well, I think what would the agenda be if not cataloging you for your political viewpoint? My concern with this is, if you've given the Liberals your information, of course the Liberals are going to know your information. But I would hate the Liberals to create or to go on a fishing expedition to know, to figure out who cares about what. If they created a little petition about, something as simple as celebrating the 4th anniversary of the Freedom Convoy, and you sign here to acknowledge your interest in this, put on by concerned truckers of Canada, and that's the Liberal Party front group. Now they have your information, and they can do whatever they want with it. They don't. They could sell it. Heck, at this point, they could probably give it to the RCMP. And so, the worst part about this law, I think, is that this is retroactive 25 years. What is the point of that? That's 7 years after people who voted in the last election for the first time were born. That's crazy. What is the necessity for that except to have yourself a bit of a Stasi-style catalog of undesirables?
Bill C-5, allowing the government to suspend laws in order to achieve, I don't know, projects that are in the national interest. And as you pointed out, this is not likely to include pipelines, because when it comes to pipelines, Mark Carney says, well, we'll have to defer to the wishes of the provinces. So in the case of a pipeline going to Tidewater in British Columbia, the premier in British Columbia says, we're not interested. So he's not going to use Bill C-5, to push that through.
No.
So what kind of projects that are in the national interest do you see Mark Carney getting behind that require this kind of legislation to suspend laws?
Well, and that's the thing. We know he's a green zealot. If this legislation were to be used for pipelines, we didn't need this legislation. We needed him to repeal the pipeline blocking legislation, Bill C-69, the tanker ban. We needed him to go back to the old energy review board and not this nonsense, which subjects our national energy projects to a gender-based analysis. You have to ask the local feminist how the pipeline is going to hurt her feelings. You could have repealed all those pieces of legislation instead of bringing in this one, because the laws he would have to suspend to build a pipeline would be the ones the Liberals brought in. He would have to suspend Bill C-69 to build a pipeline at this point. So this is not intended to build pipelines. This is intended to put solar panels up where the land is zoned agricultural and not industrial. This is to change the laws so that they can put wind turbines up a little closer to the residential housing or to your farm so that your livestock.
Well, Canadians look the other way.
From infrasound. So this is not meant to get real nation building energy projects done. This is meant to get around local laws which prevent polluting green energy projects from being shoved down our throats.
So bring us up to speed. What is what's the status of these bills? Are they being rushed through Parliament? Are they being sort of combined into one big omnibus bill? What's happening?
So C-5 was passed with the Conservatives, bizarrely, with Conservative support. I don't think Conservatives were thinking about the foresight here. I realize why. They think they are going to get a pipeline built, but they're not going to get a pipeline built. They're going to get a wind farm built, and that doesn't help anybody at all. Now that the House has risen for the summer, these things are stagnant. So that is the good thing. The bad thing is we know the Liberals never give up. they're talking about bringing back Bill C-63, which at the time drew international outrage at them. So these bad ideas, they never go away. They will be the first things introduced when they sit again.
So C-5 has passed first reading. Does it have to go to committee?
Yes. Yeah, they will go to committee. Okay. Where the Conservatives hopefully can make some changes to the legislation that, you know, hopefully they have things built in their fail safes like these need to be in favor of, I don't know how you'd word it, but not Chinese companies. We're not going to overlook local laws so that Sinopec can build another oil sands mine. We might want to consider Syncrude. I think they will be able to, if they can, make some changes to the legislation to fill in all those gaps, so that at least when we have these bad projects rammed down our throat, at least the green cronyists will be Canadian at the end of the day.
So that's C5. What about C2 and C4? What's the status there?
Last I checked on Michael Geist's website, he just had an article published this morning. So he has said that Bill C2 still stands, but he doesn't think that it will stand up to a constitutional challenge. He said the government's inclusion of warrantless information demand powers in Bill C2 will guarantee a constitutional challenge on privacy grounds and on confidentiality obligations. And he said that it has at least a decent opportunity to win, considering previous Supreme Court rulings. So, and his concern too is that the first group of people who may bring forward a challenge on C2 will be the legal profession, because they, this piece of legislation comes at the experts, because the experts might have to divulge, maybe not attorney-client communications, but who your clients are. And you don't have to do that as it sits right now. So that may violate attorney-client privilege. So the government has picked a fight with the people with the Ways and Means to fight back, which can happen to a nicer bunch.
Again, how can Canadians challenge these bills before they dismantle democratic protections?
Well, that's the thing. As Canadians, there's not a lot that we can do individually, but we can help the people who do fight back. So there are people who fight for civil liberties all the time. Our friends at the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms, they will be first ditch fighters on this. Our friends at the Democracy Fund, they will likewise, they have already issued statements condemning these pieces of legislation as a violation of the civil liberties of Canadians. These are registered Canadian charities. Donate to them. They have some of the best lawyers in the country. They were fighting for Canadians' privacy during COVID. They will continue to do that. And support the people who do their best to hold the government to account behind the scenes. And I'm not just saying Rebel News. Our friends at Juno/True North/Counter Signal, support them. Blacklocks does incredible work on access to information. There are smaller independent journalists who are doing the yeoman's work of trying to hold the government to account for the things they say and do behind closed doors. And if they want access to your communications without a warrant, a freedom of information forces them to turn their communications over to us. So what's good for the goose is definitely good for the gander.
Sheila Gunn-Reid, Alberta Bureau Chief for Rebel News and host of The Gun Show. How do we watch and listen to The Gun Show, Sheila?
Well, Richard, thanks for giving me the opportunity to tell your listeners. The Gun Show airs Wednesdays, 7 Mountain, 9 Eastern at Rebel News Plus. It's a premium show, but it's only $8 a month to subscribe. So that's like four coffees. Like, that's a coffee a week. So, and in these times of intense inflation, we have never raised the price. And you get my show as well as Ezra's show, and his is a nightly show behind the paywall as well as other premium perks. But I realize that Mark Carney is picking your pocket harder than ever before, and he's snooping in your pocket too. So if that's not in your budget, and I completely understand, the podcast for all of our content is always free wherever you listen to your podcast. And we always have free clips of the show out on my show, usually by the weekend, Ezra's next day. So there's something for everybody.
Fantastic. Sheila, great work as always. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yes, you got it. Thank you, Richard.
All right, that's it for me. I'll speak to you again real soon. In the meantime, I remain unbowed, unbent, unbroken.